cabinets, row after row of them, and there are rooms full of filing cabinets full of CD-ROMs. There's a lot of stuff down here. A lot of mouldering secrets and fatal lies. A complete transcript of every numbers channel transmitted since 1932. The last words of every spy hanged during the Second World War. Every sermon preached by a minister in the Church of Night. Our minister, before his followers found out and tore him toe from nail. The train tilts so that my feet are raised, and the clattering rush begins to slow. I've only been here for 3 or 4 minutes, but it feels like hours in the roaring dark. I cross my arms around my body, hugging myself, and try not to think about premature burials. Instead, I try to remember more secrets and lies, such as the recordings of every spy and defector executed by Abu Nidal. Famously paranoid, if he suspected a recruit of spying, he had them buried in a coffin, fed through a tube while being interrogated, after which they would be executed by a bullet fired down the same pipe. I gather he killed more of his own followers than any hostile power. The last confessions of every member of the Green Hand sect arrested and interrogated by the Kripo in Saxony in the late 1930s, which led to secret and unsanctioned executions, which the occupying powers declined to investigate after a brief, horrified review of the Nazi-era records. There is even a sealed box of DVDs containing high-resolution scans of the mechanical blueprints from the atrocity archives. That one was my own contribution to the stacks, I'm afraid. The carriage squeals to a halt. A few seconds later, I hear the clatter of lids being raised. I take this as my cue, and, bracing myself, I push against the roof. I sit up to find myself in another room, this time with a rounded, tunnel-like roof and raw brick walls. It's dimly lit by red lights set deep in shielded sockets. It smells of corruption and memories. A pair of residual human resources are lethargically unloading the wagon in front of me. I lever myself off the bench seat and clamber over the side of the carriage, trying not to bash my head on the low, curving ceiling. There are human-sized doors at either end of the platform, but I don't dare try them at random. I'm pushing my luck just by being here. Instead, I approach one of the shambling human figures and thrust my ink-stained forearm under what's left of its rotting nose. "Document," I say, stabbing my opposing index finger at the numbers. "File me." Leathery fingers close lightly around my wrist and tug me towards a half-loaded handcart. I grab onto the edge of it, and the hand drops away. I suppress a shudder. One of the office unions is currently taking HR to court over the use of residuals, claiming it's a violation of their human rights. HR's argument is that once you're dead, you have no rights to violate, but the union's lawyers have said that if they lose the case, they'll bring a countersuit for interfering with corpses. Either that, or they'll demand equal pay for the undead. After a couple of minutes, one of the working stiffs shuffles over to a control board on one wall and starts pulling handles. With a grumbling buzz of motors and the screech of steel wheels on rails, the mail train rolls forward into the next tunnel mouth, on its way back to the realm of worms and darkness. Then they take the handcarts and shamble slowly towards the farthest door. I walk alongside, resting one hand on the file cart at all times. Doors open and close. Using my free hand, I produce my warrant card and orders, then hold them clenched before me. We walk down whitewashed brick-lined passages, like the catacombs beneath a recondite order's monastery, dimly lit by yellowing bulbs. A cool breeze blows endlessly towards my face, into the depths of the mail rail tunnels. A twist in the passage brings us to another pair of riveted iron doors, painted battleship grey. It's probably their original wartime livery. I'm close to lost by this point, for I've never been in the lower depths of the stacks before. All my dealings have been with the front desk staff on the upper levels. The lead zombie places a claw-fingered hand on the door and pushes, seemingly effortlessly. The door swings open onto a different shade of darkness, a nocturnal gloom that raises goose flesh on my neck. I tighten my grip on the cart and swear at myself silently. I left my ward with Mo, didn't I? I hastily raise my warrant card and orders and grip them with my teeth, then fumble for the Necronomipod with my free hand. Should have replaced it. As my bearer walks forward, I thumb-tap the all-seeing eye into view and bring the phone's camera to bear. What I see does not fill me with joy. The dark on the other side of the portal isn't just due to an absence of light. It's the result of a very powerful ward. Being of a nasty and suspicious disposition, it strikes me as likely that it's part of a security cordon. After all, this is a secret document repository I'm trying to break into, isn't it? And I know what I'd plant just inside the back door if I was in charge of security. Shelob, or a good emulation thereof, the better to trap intruders in my sticky web. It's time to break from my assigned shelf space. So, not entirely regretfully, I let go of the document cart. Before the dead man walking can take me in hand again, I remove the papers from my mouth, then lick the ink on my wrist and frantically rub it on my jacket. "Not a document!" I crow, showing my smeary skin to the walking corpse. "No need to push, file, stamp, index, brief, debrief, or number me." It stands still for a moment, rocking gently on the balls of its feet, and I can almost see the exception handler triggering in the buggy necro-symbolic script that animates and guides its behavior. A sudden thought strikes me, and I raise my warrant card. "Command override," I bark. "Command override." The zombie freezes again, its claws centimeters from my throat.
"Override," it creaks. "Identify authorization."
The other zombie standing behind it hisses like a truck's air brake. "In the name of the counter-possession unit, on the official business of Her Majesty's Occult Service, I override you," I say very slowly. A harsh blue light from my warrant card shows me more of its death mask than I have any desire to remember. The next bit is hard. My Enochian is rusty, and I'm told I have an abominable accent, but I manage to pull together the ritual phrases I need. These residual human resources are minimally scriptable, as long as you've got the access permissions and know what you're doing. The consequences of getting it wrong are admittedly drastic, but I find that the prospect of a syntax error getting your brains gnawed out through a hole in your